Welcome to Your Detour, a podcast created to inspire those navigating their career journeys. James and I started this program because of our own journey. Our goal is to provide motivation and drive through interviews with others that didn't have the standard promotional outcome to success. We hope you find these discussions helpful to forge ahead your own obstacles, strive for happiness, and value-driven outcomes. Come along this adventure with us and subscribe to Your Detour on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. In this week's episode, we have the honor of speaking with Jed Berger, the Global Chief Marketing Officer of Foot Locker. Jed walks us through his personal journey in experiencing death, life, divorce, marriage, and many intricacies in between. We take away several learnings, but the primary one being to grieve. Grief is a critical tool in growth, and this tool has helped Jed navigate life's challenges and come out on the other side. Listen in to learn more about Jed's story and how he's been able to achieve work-life balance and take nothing for granted. Okay, welcome to Your Detour.
Thanks, guys. This is exciting.
We're really excited to have you here. So I want to set the stage, actually, before we start. James and I started Your Detour with the premise that people make life changes in their careers. They do pivots and they have detours. And a lot of it is enveloped because of their personal journeys, that what they're going through. That's basically why we started this. I know that you've actually had a pretty standard trajectory to success. You are the Global Chief Marketing Officer of Foot Locker. Not many people get to that level. So standard in terms of promotions, right? And you just kept going up and up and up. And what we want to do today is really talk to you about who you are as a person and what you've been through behind the scenes. Because the farther you go up in your success train, really, there's a different standard. I don't want to say a doubled standard, but there's a standard that you're held at that's different. And not that life doesn't happen to you, because it absolutely does, but it's perceived that life doesn't happen to you. And we definitely want to talk to you about who you are as a person and how you navigated to your success train.
There's a lot there. I think what you're saying is really accurate. I do believe that there is like a perception that somebody sort of has their shit together. And we, of course, know that that's never the case. And, you know, honestly, I think that there's been a lot that I've gone through that I actually... At the time when I was in my professional career, a lot of it I tried to keep very private at the time, because I thought it might make me look weak internally or look potentially unstable, or, you know, things weak and unstable are not exactly promotable qualities that people look for. But it's funny, you learn that human is. And balance is, and perspective is, and empathy is. So I think that's one of the things that I've tried to take into me as a leader now, and make sure that I am open about my happiness and the things that have been harder, and that I understand that people go through things, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that you can't advance in your professional career, you know? Mm-hmm. So... But I do think it's very true that there is that perception out there, and then that sort of has the twofold problem of someone like me trying to keep it out of the workplace, right? And then what happens because of that is the people who sort of look at leaders and they hold them up to this pedestal and think that they have to look in this certain way and have this certain perception to continue to rise.
As you're talking about that, I'm looking back on my career, my time spent in medical device. And one big reason was this like perception that I felt I had to be perfect. I mean, you are dealing with surgeons, you're dealing with surgery. There's a patient on the table.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. You know, you make a mistake, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You know, no one cares. And there was this like lack of human affection in it.
Yeah.
That really made it was exhausting.
Yeah.
Because you felt like you're putting on a face, right? It's a facade. So is that something you experienced, that feeling of you know, it was kind of exhausting trying to live up to that perception.
You know, I mean, I think it's a couple of things. So I think it's exhausting just having to sort of balance both those things. And again, like, everybody's got things, right? Everybody's got things that occupy them. And, you know, whether it's relationships or things with your family, I've happened to had both. I think that life becomes exhausting in trying to balance them. You know, I feel fortunate that I did not have a medical patient on the table. I work in sneakers. And I say that because it's also important to remember that. And we spend so much time, and time is so important. We spend so much time in our jobs. And how we spend our time, like I said, is incredibly important. But it isn't everything. And I really try to make sure people know that. Working in sneakers and sports is much different than in the medical world. And making sure you're clear-headed in the medical world is probably slightly more important. But at the same time, you know, you do have to make important decisions and you have to be clear-headed. And there were times that when I was struggling with things, that work was also a good distraction, right? But at the same time, I always knew that I was sort of trying to protect what was happening on the outside from getting into the inside.
Would you be comfortable sharing with us a little bit about, you know, life behind doors? What are things that you learned from your experiences in life? I know we touched on a little bit in our meet and greet, but life happened to you too.
Quick on me, I grew up in Massachusetts, in suburban Massachusetts, and, you know, had a wonderful family and lifestyle and had lots of amazing friends, and you know, my parents are wonderful, and I was actually a senior in high school, and my father actually died in a United Airlines plane crash. So when you're a senior in high school and that sort of thing happens, you know, like, you start to gain perspective and balance, and just, you look at things differently immediately, right? And you start learning from experience. And again, everybody has experience, but honestly, I'm not to say that I coasted through years 1 through 17, but at the same time, the things that I were dealing with were much more typical teenager things that my current 17-year-old son, you know, deals with. He might deal with them slightly better than me, by the way. But college, job, and I was 24, and my very serious girlfriend at the time got pregnant, and we had our now 17-year-old teenager. There's these different chapters of life, and you 24 is considered young in the professional world. So I've always been sort of growing up fast, and both sort of like my friends in New York City were brunching, I was
raising a baby,
totally
parenting.
And, you know, and again, like, you know, I probably grieved that loss for a second of like mm-hmm. brunching. You know, I had some life perspective in there, and we had a baby, and he was beautiful. Amazing. And then, so career, kid, married. My wife and I at the time grew up in different ways and changed in different ways because we got married so young and had a kid really young and just went through life slightly differently. And then we had another child. There was nothing alarming in the scans or anything like that. And when Jonah was born, beautiful baby, you know, I had to leave the hospital because they kick you out at night. And the pediatrician had come in the middle of the night and had told Nikki that she thought that there was a very, very strong chance that Jonah had Down syndrome. So I walk in the next day, Jackson's with me. We're so excited. We're, you know, Nikki tells me, and you know, all of a sudden what you think life is, talking about a detour, right? I mean, and you know, and then you have to, honestly, you have to grieve that too. You know, that these are real things you have to grieve. It's interesting because I remember when knowing that things weren't perfectly right, and there was medical things that come along with that sort of thing too. And I remember telling work to my boss, be like, don't let them send anything out. Like, there's some complications here. Like, give me a minute. Then when I realized what was happening, and our chairman and CEO, Dick Johnson, who's a wonderful man, sent me an unbelievably kind, like, hope you don't mind me reaching out, but Stacy told me what was going on, and just really, and you know, and amazing people reaching out. So like, there was this point of intersection of people understanding life and detour. And, but, you know, obviously then you have a baby, and you go through life and it doesn't look the way you thought it was going to. And again, I've had, and I had a lot of experience, like I said, grieving. You know, people overuse the word pivoting in business terms. When you think one thing is going one way and a parent passes away and you have a kid a little bit earlier than you expected, and then you're expecting one thing from your second child and you get something completely different. Those are inevitable, huge life pivots, right? And chapters. And so I think I was able to slightly adapt to that easier than my wife. And we grew apart and life was hard. You know, raising a kid with special needs is in the New York City is not easy at all. Jonah is, he's now nine, but he is Down syndrome, but he's he also has autism and he's also deaf in one ear. And a lot of times things with Down syndrome come with other very serious medical issues or other special needs, whether they're cognitive or physical or whatever it is. And the collision of autism and Down syndrome is an actual collision that is hard. And the best and worst thing I did was do the Facebook, found the Facebook group of autism and Down syndrome families. And that is challenging, but probably, you know, for me, I was actually the divorce piece. That was the piece that I kept the most private in the work setting, because I thought that I never sort of thought that my life was going to look like that.
And I was just going to ask you that. Do you think it's because it was you, not your children?
Yeah. I mean, I think I felt like a failure and it just was such an unknown to me in life. And so I felt like a failure. And, you know, that failure piece, that was the looking weak in my perception. And so I went to work and did my job the best I could and went home. And we weren't divorced. We were separated and figuring out what the way life was supposed to look and all still in the same household. And it took me a long time to sort of figure out what life looked like with as a not together couple with a special needs child who needed a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to keep our family as intact as possible. It's not like we were like at each other's throats. We had a real relationship. We just grown significantly apart. So this is where my work life and home life really merged, because it took me a little while, but I got to the point of like, okay, this isn't doomsday. Like, this isn't a weakness. Like, how, like, figure out what's best for the family. And I tackled my life like I tackled work. And I joke, but I told you guys this, but I wrote a brief because that's what I knew how to do. That's how I knew how to compartmentalize thought in different stages and build from problem to solution. We end up selling our condo in Brooklyn, and we bought a 3-family. We lucky that we bought the condo early, so we did very well. and we bought a 3-family home a little bit further out in Brooklyn, and we turned the 3-family home into what we jokingly call the commune. And Nikki lived on the 3rd floor. I lived on the 1st floor apartment. There was an apartment on each floor, and we sort of converted the middle floor into a family floor. And we lived, and we went on some vacations together, and we knew it wasn't permanent. You know, we were trying to do the best thing for everybody. And it worked out amazingly well. And now I just got remarried and
congratulations. Thank you.
Congratulations.
And Sarah is an amazing part of our family. And we've just sort of grown our extended family. Jonah's former nanny is the person who lives in my old apartment in the commune. And I live around the corner. Like, I could probably hit the house with a baseball, the other house with a baseball. It's 1 minute away. You know, I'm 42 now. And so I look at like that sort of like losing my father at 7, almost 18, 2 children, 1 with disabilities, getting divorced, getting remarried, and still escalating in my career. And I really believe that my personal life changes, the things I've had to balance, have probably at the end of everything made me better in the workplace too. Now it's like, how do I show everybody that I am human? And I do have this little boy with special needs, and that adds both beauty and sometimes struggle to life, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
No.
That's why you're here. That's literally why you're here. What I took out of that is, yes, you've gone through so many trials and tribulations, but what I actually picked up along every one of your chapters is there's so much triumph. And you are probably successful in your life and career because you have figured out how to navigate these extremely difficult life challenges very well. And it's unfortunate that you've had to experience them at such a young age and go through such heartache. I can't imagine what you've gone through. But a lot of people that we talk to and want to talk to are people that are figuring that out and how to get to that next level. And we've been fortunate enough that we're actually just figuring that out too. It took us a while, but we're doing that. Mm-hmm.
It does take a while.
It does. It's not overnight. And you have to go through things in order to learn from them. So I kind of want to applaud you because to be where you are now is pretty astounding. And I'm like teary-eyed because I feel sad that you've gone through those things. But I'm like, I know you're not my family, but I'm like proud of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, what's interesting is like proud of me too sometimes. Because I know where I've been too. And there'll be times where Nikki and I are still really close. And there'll be times where she'll be like, aren't you really proud of us? You know? Yeah. Triumph's a tough word. I feel proud. Like you mentioned, I feel really happy with where life is today. Mm-hmm. I don't take anything for granted at this point. I really do recognize that like things are in chapters, and people always joke because like literally I'm like the chief therapist. Also, my mom is a therapist, by the way, but I'm like the chief therapist. When we were at the office, you know, I want to perceive myself as human. I want people to know I'm human. Like I make a conscious decision even to keep my Instagram public at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'm not somebody who like spills out the world on Instagram. And like people who work for me, follow me, separating them. That's impossible. Mm-hmm. That is impossible. We take things home with us. We bring things to work. It's real. And they affect each other. I feel like I have a wonderful work-life balance at this point. And I feel like a lot of the things I've gone through has really, really helped me get there. I really want to believe that I'm an example now that. And I really want to be.
Absolutely.
I haven't always been there either.
I know exactly, you know, what you're speaking of there. Obviously a big reason why we're doing this is just that. Like if you can learn from my experience and the experience of the people that we're having on this show, I wasn't always there, but here's an example of how experiences kind of mold you. And with your experience, I couldn't help but continue to think about how important perspective is. And it's something that, you know, as a young kid, your parents, you know, don't take this for granted. And you're like, oh yeah, okay,
right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you start going through these experiences and you're like, oh, this is what they're talking about. Your experience, I did do some research on you and your Twitter, and I came to an article that Nikki wrote with Jonah and the Water. And she did a beautiful job writing that. And this isn't writer. Always going
super talented.
Oh yeah. But I was captivated by it. And it's the perspective of it all that you expect life to be this perfectly written out, you know, insert yourself here. And then something, you know, a blessing like Jonah comes in and it makes you see things differently. I love hearing that you're like the chief therapist too. And you mentioned on some of the other podcasts you've been on, leading with empathy.
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing with us a little bit about how you approach leading with empathy?
Well, it's funny because I don't know if I actually have an approach. You know what I mean? Like I just think like I'm human and people are human. And like thinking about somebody it would be silly of me to think that the people I work with don't have problems, relationships, stress, pressures, loss, children, like who aren't affected by the gazillion things that are happening in the world today. Like, of course. And like, you know, making sure that like I'm checking in on people and asking and sharing. I joke all the time, but the very first thing that like, whenever I told anybody like sort of my story with Nikki and what was happening, like most of the time the reaction I got was their story, because everybody's got one. So it's like silly to not think they do. And it's silly to not think that it, like I said, it's not affecting work in some way, shape or form, maybe positively. Mm-hmm. So it's not how I lead my work life. It's just how I really want to believe it's how I try to live my life at this point. And just going into it, knowing that people have, like Sarah, my wife says, peaks and pits, you know, they do. And it's, I'm not here to measure one against the other. I'm just, they feel no matter what. So
I just finished the book, The Power of Moments, and I believe Sarah got peaks and pits from that book, which is really phenomenal, by the way. It talks about how to see your life in moments and how to turn those pits into peaks. Their goal is to give you the tools to do that. I'm glad that you brought that up, because my actual question was going to be similar around to, so you've gone through these crazy things. Like, everyone does go through life, but like you said, you didn't experience true trauma until you're 17 or 18, and you've had a few of them going along the way. I imagine that every time that you had a new experience to go through, you picked up some tips on how to help yourself, I guess, through the next one. And people that we talk to or that we hear from that are struggling, that might be reaching out to say, hey, I heard that story. I'm actually struggling, and I'm glad that I heard that person say that. They don't know what those tips are yet. They don't know how to get there yet. So if from someone like you, can you share maybe a couple of things that you've learned along the way that help you bounce back maybe a little bit faster or stronger? Maybe it doesn't have to be faster, that you pick yourself back up.
I think some of it I'm hesitant, because I don't know if everything that worked for me, now that I look back, is the right thing to say would work for everybody else. I think the one thing I would say is, and I used the word grieving a couple times, I do think it's real. I think grieving brunch, grieving having my early 20s look the way I thought they would look, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's going to be some, you know, you have to do it just to turn into the father you want to turn into. I mean, you have to actually decide to move on. And like, you know, this is the way life looked. Now it's going to look a different way. You have to allow yourself time to grieve. I mean, Jonah, again, I definitely had to grieve that loss. And like, I was expecting something that looked completely different. And I was so excited. You're expecting a baby and everything is great, going right. You're expecting something to look, you're expecting the rest of your life to look a very specific way, and celebrating that throughout the journey and with your partner, and it changes. So you have to grieve it. Mm-hmm. You have to.
I think what's so important about grieving, to your point, is carrying things with you can just weigh you down. And it's not saying you forget about it, but that grieving part is so important, I think, because of that. If you didn't grieve your 20s and missing brunch, what happens down the road where you're like, hey, I got to relive my 20s? You know what I mean? It carries, you know, so much weight. So I think it's important. And what I'm picking up from your talk on grieving, because I haven't kind of really seen it this way. You only see it in one point, you know, when someone passes. But that's how I'm picking up from, you know, this grieving aspect. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the grieving aspect, when you're talking, James, and you're saying that it weighs on you. James preaches a lot about the ripple effect, and probably because we've had so many ripples in our lives and ripple effect goes deep, right? It goes really far and wide. When you don't take care of the primary issue, that rock in the beginning, before it starts skipping and making all those ripples, guess what? Everyone around you is affected in a way that you don't imagine or want them to be affected. And we can talk about that all day, because welcome to the Petrola house.
Well, let me tell you something. I use this as a business and personal. I don't call it the ripple effect, but I have an amazing team, wide, broad team. And the thing is, a lot of organizations and companies are so amazing. People who work for them are amazing. They just get shit done. Mm-hmm. They are tactical animals, and they might stress, they might complain, but they find a way to get it done. Mm-hmm. But somebody isn't spending the time. It's easier to spend the time just getting shit done and moving on to the next thing than it is to actually try and solve the root problem. I find that to be the case in many, 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 many work scenarios. and personal scenarios where I'd like to think that I've learned from some of my problems in past relationships where like I was just going and solving the problem. Solving the problem immediately in front of me. Not actually tackling the problem, which might mean a really hard conversation, which might mean conflict, which might mean a hard decision. There are things that would make moving forward better for everybody around you. In my now old age, I've tried to learn from that and try to stop and fix up here because it really does affect the ongoing and the people who are doing it. Mm-hmm. But it's just so much easier to keep going.
I vividly remember the point at which I finally realized I was the one making the ripple. I mean, I was, all joking aside, like I was in the restroom and I was like, oh shit, it's me. It's nobody else. It's not because my daughter's two and she's not sleeping. It's not this. It's me. I'm the one making the ripple. And from there, you start to see what difference it has when you can control that, when you're more self-aware and you respond to things, learn how to respond to things rather than react. And this conversation has just brought me back to so many of these places where not the same experiences, but the same lessons kind of we've taken from them that we hope resonate with so many of our listeners from this story. So Jed, I think we reached this point. If there's one piece of advice that you want to leave with our listeners, whether it be professionally, personally, intertwine them both, what would you offer up?
This is the reason I was supposed to read the pre-homework, so I would have an answer to this question set.
It is in that email. I'm that tactical animal.
That makes some sense. Well, you know, I have talked about perspective and balance, balance a lot. I feel like I've learned a lot. I hate the word present. I hate it. I'm so sorry to use it. I've learned a lot about being present, both at work and home. And Jonah, honestly, and patience has taught me. Jonah legitimately is the biggest love bug of all time. Sarah and him have the most beautiful and special relationship. And Ichio says, it's like, it is legitimately impossible to have a bad day. If you're having a bad day, Jonah, it's impossible to not flip the script because he's just the biggest love bug. And all he wants to do is hug, kiss, and be silly. It's just a great reminder of like, your life is not just one thing. It is not just work, you know, and it can't be either. It can't be. I really believe the more we allow ourselves to be more than one thing, the better we are at all of those things. I mean, it sounds cheesy, but like work-life balance is really, really, really important. And I guess I've learned that a little bit the hard way, but I'm so glad that I learned it. And I feel I have a ton of joy today in my life, and I have a hard work life at times and a hard home life at times. And neither of them overwhelm me to the point of owning me. So
that's great.
I don't know if that's really a piece of advice, but it is a way of being.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jed.
Oh no, I really enjoyed it. This was my therapy session of the day.
Yeah, we're happy to help support you. This was really valuable, and like we said, if we can help one person, we are grateful. So thank you so much for telling your story.
Oh, well, thank you.
I really appreciate it, Jed.
Okay, thank you guys.
Thanks for tuning in to today's Your Detour episode. If you liked this episode, rate, review. You know what to do. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. We hope you can tune in next time, but until then, take care of yourself.